I'm Austin.
And I'm Bess.
And this is Worse Than You Remember,
the podcast where we watch all of your favorite childhood movies and tell you why they were definitely worse,
or sometimes better,
than you remember.
Than you remember.
Okay.
Than you remember. Than you remember. Then you remember.
Then you remember.
They're not better than we remember. They're better than you remember.
One of those has to land somewhere.
Yeah. How do you emphasize every word in a sentence? They're better than you remember.
Yeah, that just sounded like you were having a stroke. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm extremely excited about today's episode because I had a great time and I have almost nothing but positive things to say about this movie, which is a first.
Yeah, I mean, there's some silly things that we're going to talk about. But overall, I was very impressed. And I'm pretty sure I know what I attribute it to, but we'll get into it.
I didn't check to see how long we had the entire film.
The entire time.
That's the first time that has happened in this podcast.
I checked the time at one point because I wanted to see how early something happened. It was like at 6 minutes in. I forget what I was looking at. Oh, yeah. When I decided what I wanted the movie to really be about. But
what did you want the movie to really be about?
I wanted the movie to be about Chuck and Tammy.
Wait, who's Chuck?
Chuck is his friend who likes Tammy.
Which one? The little one or the bigger one?
The one who likes her.
Okay, I never knew their names the whole film.
Well, they say them, so.
Okay. When? Just at the very beginning?
Maybe.
Okay. Because, like, I liked them, but I feel like I never knew their names.
Yeah, they have names.
Okay.
Or at least Chuck did. I don't know the other one's name. But yeah, I did not check to see how long we had or like how much longer it was good. It was paced well.
Yeah, it very much was.
Clean 1 hour, 26 minute movie. Get in, get out.
Corbin Blue has like a really extensive career too, like on Broadway and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't unimpressed that he was the best actor in this whole movie. I like him. I've never had any qualms with this man.
I like him too. He wasn't the best actor in the movie, but...
Who was the best actor in the movie?
Keke Palmer was the best actor in the movie.
I disagree.
She was incredible.
No, she was good, but I feel like Corbin was just
He
better.
Was good like, too.
I feel like he was acting at a more adult level, and she was definitely acting on like the Disney Channel level.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like... I don't know. Anytime he tried to box, it took me out of it. The boxing was really bad.
You know what this movie really just brought me back to? Which is why I kind of want to look up and see what came first, High School Musical 2 or this movie. It's like someone just took the I Don't Dance sequence out of High School Musical 2 and crafted a whole separate movie around it. But they were like, but we still need to have Corbin Blue. It doesn't work without Corbin Blue.
I thought the same thing. Obviously.
Yes. So this movie, I'm going to pull up the summary. This movie is about a teenager who is pressured by his father to become a boxer, but a local girl introduces him to the very different sport of jump roping. Did you ever do double dutch?
I tried and I'm terrible at it.
I feel like I used to do it when I was like 7 or 8 and I never did it like at all after that. It was purely an elementary school thing.
I did not have the rhythm or the coordination, more the coordination. I maybe had the rhythm, but not the coordination of like moving my feet.
It's hard. I would get like stressed out because if you go the slightest bit too fast or too slow, you could trip and die.
I also could never spin the jump ropes.
No, I would get them tangled. I was bad at that.
Every time I was like, I don't know how people do it.
I liked how in this movie, like Keke and what were their names? Izzy and Mary. I want to talk about the names in this movie in a minute, but
yeah, we got to talk about the names in this movie. Crazy white people names.
The little girl's name who was 8, her name was Karen.
With an I.
It made it somewhat better that it was with an I, but her name was still Karen.
Yeah, it was Karen.
The only name that I really genuinely respected was Rodney. I was like, yeah, Rodney fits you.
Rodney was the only name that fucking made sense in this movie. What this movie felt like to me was it was written with white people in mind, and then they changed things, like changed, you know, the settings and definitely some of like the interactions and stuff, but then left the names white. You know what I mean? Because yeah. it wasn't like it was culturally deaf or like tone deaf. It felt like a movie about people of color.
Yeah.
But the names were wrong.
It might have been. Kind of like how we said in Ring of Endless Light, they just like replaced all the things and didn't worry about the ages.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even if that was the case or whatever, I still feel like this film did a really good job of, like, it had depth to it, but it didn't feel like, not over dramatic, but it didn't feel
melodramatic.
Like, melodramatic or like gratuitous or anything like that.
There were some melodramatic moments.
Like when?
Like when we first meet Rodney and they're like, he's the school bully. And he's like, what's up, loser? Pushes him. And it's this very like after school special bully moment that I thought was really funny. And I didn't hate it. Like, you know what I mean? Like it served its purpose, especially when we get to the end and we find out, we're just jumping all around. Sorry. But
I know
when we find out who's narrating this movie.
The narration did not need to be there, first of all.
It didn't need to be there, but when we find out who is narrating, I think that it adds to the movie.
Yeah, I forgot who the narrator was, because I definitely have seen this movie before.
Yeah, same.
But the narration just kept saying things that had already happened and like not actually giving us insight into the characters. Like the only time it made sense was at the end when clearly he was saying stuff that we definitely didn't know because we hadn't seen it.
Yes.
But I was just like, that's my very first note is who is narrating this and why?
Yeah, that was, I almost fell out of my chair. that was my note too. I made that like multiple times. I was like, who is narrating? I don't recognize the voice because he wasn't angry in his narration. So he didn't sound the same.
I thought it was going to be Felix, the guy who worked at the gym.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be him because that made sense to me.
Yeah. As like the all-knowing wise black man trope that happens a lot.
He did that. They did that.
Anyways, let's talk about the beginning of the movie since we haven't done that yet.
This beautiful like Rocky-esque intro that Corbin gets, which is so much.
It's jarring a little bit. It's a Disney Channel original movie opening, right? Where we just jump right into it.
I thought it was one of the more cinematic openings that we've had.
It is more cinematic, which is why it's okay. It's jarring because it's so much going on. It's very active.
But it's not Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure jarring where it's just her face.
Yes. No, like we at least have, it's a wide shot, which is good. And we have, you know, establishing, but then he just goes straight into like flipping around the streets and twisting and dancing and shadowboxing.
It was parkour, like, on crack. I literally wrote, did he do lines of cocaine before shooting this?
Yes, that's what like, it felt like. It was like, just, I have to get my energy out. I have to get my energy out. And it was like, relax.
He does not walk this entire film.
No.
He's either running, jumping, or like twisting. Like, he never just chills out and walks.
No. And if he does walk, it's maybe backwards.
Yes, maybe
that's
backwards.
It. Maybe.
Yeah, because he's turning around to make a point.
Exactly, exactly.
Yes. And then I also didn't understand. I was like, why do you know everyone in this town? It looked like a cute little like downtown-ish kind of area. I'm like, there's so many.
I was like, this is Brooklyn.
Oh, it's supposed to be. Oh, that's right. Because they say later, like they're doing something in Harlem.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be New York. How the fuck do you know anybody?
It's crazy.
It doesn't make any sense. It would have made sense.
It's like the Netflix version of all the Marvel shows that are set in Hell's Kitchen.
Okay, so we meet the girls. We meet Kiki Palmer and her friends and the jump rope team.
I totally forgot that she was in this movie, too.
I did, too. Because like they're both like, they have like really successful careers now.
Yeah.
And they've always been good. They've been great child stars. Yeah. They've been unproblematic. I love them.
I love Kiki Palmer. Because we talked about it at the end of last episode that she's in the Spelling Bee movie.
Yeah.
The Spelling Bee jump rope movie. And so now I'm like, is she just like really good at double dutch? And she just like does this.
Can we talk about how when he first gets introduced to it, the girls are like, we're training. What are they training for? Regionals.
Regionals! Because regional alert!
No other competition exists, apparently, aside from regionals in any Disney film ever.
I was so happy to be back at regionals. That is something that's not a segment, but we need,
a regionals counter?
Yes, we need like a regional sound effect, because like it's not like we would like be playing it over and over again, but like something that you insert that's like regionals.
Oh, I was thinking like regionals.
Something like that is. I think that would be funny on the podcast. I did last week. They had Thrall Watch.
What?
Because their podcast this season is all about the different iterations of Dracula.
Okay.
And so every time that he uses his thrall on somebody where they're like drawn to him and they are like,
oh, okay. I was like, what the hell is thrall?
Yeah. Thrall is where you're like drawn to someone and you can't help but like want to serve them and like whatever else.
Yeah.
And that's like,
I get it.
I know you do. But like that, you know, that's one of his main things. And so they have Thrall Watch every week. And so and they got like really quiet for a second because they were like, we have a, and then I was like, what's happening? But then they're like, we insert the thing. Considering how freaking often regionals come up, I think that we should have a regional watch.
We can definitely do that.
But then we get into something that confuses the shit out of me.
Okay.
Which is after regionals, we have city.
No, thank you for saying that, because that was my thought too. That didn't make any sense to me. Is it like New York City as a whole and they're doing it by like boroughs?
That's what I'm thinking, is like the regionals must literally be like the boroughs.
Yeah, because like obviously that would make sense to me if it was specifically New York City. Like I wonder if their city is like quote unquote state.
Yeah, almost. You know? That's what I was thinking. Yeah, like how we would go regionals and then state basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if it was like that just because of like how big the city is.
That makes sense. I just think it's like crazy that it would be called city.
No,
but, I
know. I
mean, New York listeners, I know. I mean,
New York listeners, please tell us what the fuck.
Yeah, write in. Is that how your sports work? We don't know. We don't sports good.
I have no idea.
I was gonna say that I think that they have really good chemistry immediately, Kiki and Corbin.
That's my next note, is all of her friends keep talking about like, oh my God, he likes you. You like him. And I'm like, there's no inclination on either side, maybe Corbin's side, but there's no like setting up. I didn't feel that at all.
You didn't
like,
really?
Not from the get-go. No, eventually I do.
I literally have a note and I was like, they love each other.
Oh, I wrote, she literally gave no inclination that she likes him in any capacity.
She loves him.
I did not think so.
I thought so. I think she loves him.
Okay, well, I mean, we'll get there. And then we get introduced to his at-home family dynamic, which obviously no one's dealing with their grief.
Nope.
In any way. The only one who gets a pass is Karen, because she's 8.
Yes. It's completely unclear. For the first half of the movie, at least, if not further in, it's unclear where the mom is. We don't know that she's dead. We just know she's not there.
No, we do know that she's dead.
Do we?
Well, I feel like, that's just something that I, like, picked up on.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you could assume, right?
Really quickly, though, does any Disney movie that you know of deal with divorce? Or is it always death?
Cadet Kelly.
Yes, but that was a very healthy family dynamic.
Yeah.
Thank you. That we've watched that so recently.
It's a lot more common to do death than divorce. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because, I mean, well, Cadet Kelly was like further into the canon. No.
Cadet Kelly came out like 3-5 years before this.
No, I know. I'm just saying like in terms of, well, no, I guess it was one of the earlier Disney movies. But I think I'm just conditioned now to
assume death from Disney. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Especially of a parent, especially of a mom.
Yes, because where they had that scene between, what's his name, Izzy and Karen, where her dad, like, fucks up her hair, and he's like, I can fix it, it's whatever, and they have that scene where he's like, you miss her, don't you? And she's like, yeah, and he's like, I do too. And they're really sad about it, so I was like, oh, okay, she's
dead. It definitely, like, it reads as death, It's just they don't say it explicitly until like almost the third act.
Yeah.
And so, which is like weird to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, actually, that feels kind of like naturalistic to me, because do you go, if your mom died, would you go around every day being like, you know, ever since she died? I'd be like, you know, ever since the incident. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, you don't speak that bluntly. No,
you're like, probably right, especially to an 8-year-old.
Yes. Because you're still, like, they're obviously all still dealing with it.
Yeah. But we don't know when it happened ever. I don't know how recent or long ago it was. It seems recent.
It seems, I think at some point they say it hasn't, it's been like around a year or so.
Yeah, I was going to say it feels like around a year because the dad is like still learning to do stuff. He's terrible at hair, by the way. He's
so bad.
He knew that was bad. He knew it was bad. There was hair sticking straight up.
I wrote at this point, because obviously we're getting introduced to the fact that boxing is not Izzy's thing, it's his dad's thing, and I just wrote in quotations, "No, Dad, I'm giving up your dream," because I anticipated that coming, and then I didn't get it, though. I wrote later on, I was like, the actual line that they say, and I was like, a good twist. I'm about that twist.
Yeah. This, I screamed, because obviously we're setting up for the future. We're getting all what we have to look forward to. And as far as boxing goes, we get to look forward to the Golden Gloves.
I kept hearing Golden Globes.
Yeah, because it's one letter off and those letters are next to each other on the keyboard.
I guess if you're going to have a competition, the Golden Gloves isn't terrible. Like, that's not a bad
name. It's not good.
It's not bad.
I think it's pretty bad because the Golden Globes existed.
So okay, fine. Boy, what would you call it?
What would I call it?
Yes.
Slam Night.
Oh my God, why would you do that right when I took a sip?
I waited until you took a sip. I waited because I
You're
knew.
You're so mean. Oh my God. Ah. Slam Night sounds like a little sexual.
Yeah. No, Slam Night would be for wrestling.
Yeah.
Fury Fisting.
Wow, that was so much worse. Yikes.
I don't know. I know nothing about boxing, so I don't know how much of this is realistic. The boxing was the weakest part of the movie to me.
The only person I really cared about boxing was Tammy.
Yes!
I was like, Tammy, fuck it up, girl.
I would die for Tammy.
And then there was like the obvious sexism at the beginning. And I have a note in here that just goes, "Hit him, Tammy," in all caps. Because I was like, don't put up with this shit.
No.
And I love, like, she was truly the unsung hero of the entire film.
I loved
film.
Her character in this.
It was great.
Such a like perfectly balanced and well-written like minor character. You know what I mean?
It was a really good like reflection of him in a way.
Totally.
Everything she said, I was like, yes. Like the depth and the emotional clarity and all that. I was like, you're not 14. You're so much older than that. And I respected her the whole time. There's a scene in the house where someone calls the house and his dad like makes a big deal about going to get the phone. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to leave. Guess you better take your sister to the double dutch competition. And I was like, the way he did it seemed kind of like obvious that he was like putting them together. And I was like, his dad wants him to fuck. That's what I felt throughout that
scene. It was a very, like, contrived, like, it felt like a weird, it did, it felt weird, like, he had an ulterior motive, but, like, what was the motive?
That scene was weird. Yeah, that scene was really weird.
It was just bizarre. But he, because he, that's when he was doing the hair, and then he runs out, and he's like, okay, you guys
can,
you know?
And he's like, you guys can hang out together. And on the way to the competition, we meet Rodney. Is that when we meet Rodney?
Yes, okay, that is when we meet Rodney, the neighborhood bully.
And I finally wrote, I'm not feeling the sexual tension between the protagonist and the antagonist for the first time ever.
Yeah, I wrote OMG, the melodrama. So yes. I fully disagreed. Like, that was my word for word. I was like, melodrama. Because Rodney just comes in full force with his bulliness. It was great.
Yeah, I immediately was like, I want to know more about Rodney. Like, I didn't dislike him,
but we get to learn more, which is great.
Absolutely. And they were really good, I feel like, at building a relationship as well as tension between them.
Yes.
Because, like, obviously Rodney is just, like, super angry and super depressed and, like, I don't know, and probably like also jealous of Corbin in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I don't know why I can't call him Izzy. I'm so sorry.
No, it's because it's a terrible name.
Anyway, so after we meet Rodney and we get like a little introduction to his character and their relationship, we get to the first double dutch competition. Mm-hmm. And I have some thoughts.
I do too. First of all, I want to say something that Mary says. Like, Mary is not her name. I'm sorry. No,
it's not. Literally any other name would have been fine.
Mary is not her name. That's crazy. But she says, if the judges don't like us, we're so done. Like, yeah, Mary, that's how competitions work. That's like you're not saying anything.
No, but I know.
That's like saying in a basketball game, guys, if we don't score more points than them, we lose.
Yeah.
Like, no, yeah, I know. That's true.
Some of her dialogue seemed very like, it's like the narration. I was like, this is redundant. But thanks,
it's
though.
Very
thanks
redundant,
for contributing.
But it's like, I also get that it's for children, and so they're laying it out for children.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I know. But this movie was already so pretty, like, high caliber, in my opinion, for a DCOM, that I think I was just expecting more.
Absolutely.
So I want to talk about something that happens not once, but twice in the movie. From the Dutch Dragons. So we meet the Dutch Dragons, obviously.
Gina
arch
and
rival.
The Dutch Dragons.
Gina and the Dutch Dragons.
Gina and the Dutch Dragons.
So in their routine, they like do a sex position.
I know what you're gonna, the humping thing. You didn't know that was fucked up.
Yes, thank you. Welcome to our new segment of You Didn't Know That Was Fucked Up. They do it at regionals and then they do it at like the very end competition where it's the one where someone is standing holding the person's legs. I think it's like, I want to say it's like a wheelbarrow type thing.
It would be a wheelbarrow if they were holding the legs.
They were holding the legs.
No, but they were holding the legs up against like
yes.
You know what
their,
I mean?
Their
like
vaginas
if your legs were in
were
front
touching,
of you. Like, yeah.
And they were jumping while they did. It was horrifying.
Horrifying.
I was like, who? Okay, so listen. Either nobody knew or everybody knew and everyone who worked on the crew was a male and they didn't give a shit. Like,
yeah,
either
really
way,
makes
you didn't know that was fucked up. Like,
really makes you think. Really makes you think. Either you didn't know it was fucked up or you did know and that is fucked up.
Aside from that, though, I was like, obviously the Dutch Dragons are the superior team. They did a costume change. They are coming for the gold.
Yes, yes, exactly. Like, you can't just show up with one look, honey. Yeah. You gotta change for freestyle, honey.
Also, something else that was, like, weirdly sexual about this is Corbin is watching the Joy Jumpers do their routine, and he's, like, leaning in really close, and he whispers, like, do it. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
he's a freak like that.
Because obviously he's getting like more invested and I understood, but it was just this one line that I was like, it could have been anything else. Like the parts where he's like, oh, cool. Cool. That was wholesome. That was pure. That was supportive. That was encouraging. But just
do it. Do it. I would like to say at this point.
Do it.
No.
I did it again. We're good.
I know. I would like to say at this point that the music in this movie slaps.
It does. Because Kiki Palmer and Corbin Bleu and Drew Seeley are on the soundtrack.
Like, it's hype. And at least I tried to Shazam a couple of songs. One I got, one during this competition didn't show up and I was heartbroken.
Which one?
I don't know the name of the song, otherwise I wouldn't have to Shazam it, you idiot.
Okay, sorry.
Are you dumb in the head?
If you watch the movie with subtitles, it tells you what the song is. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. I watched it with subtitles, but I didn't know I liked the song until after it started playing.
Okay. I'm just trying to teach you how to consume cinema.
Do you want to take this outside?
It's going to be a really long time before we actually see each other.
Yeah, I will meet you in Waco, and we will throw hands.
Anyway, I think I also, it's funny, I have a note about that, and I said Drew Seeley is on the soundtrack, of course, iconic. Yeah.
But I just, I did think that, like, fucking jump rope shit is so cool. It's so impressive to me.
It is impressive, because it's a lot, it's, like, very delicate, and I like how they were talking about, like, it's all about endurance, basically.
Yeah, like, they
and it's just, it's really cool. It's impressive.
It was really cool, and, like, obviously there was some cuts and stuff, like, it wasn't, like, all one shot. But like they were doing that shit. You know what I mean? Like
no, they were. And it wasn't like Gotta Kick It Up or Cadet Kelly where they were very clearly not doing the material. Like they were going at it and it was awesome. Yeah. And they also had a really good shot, which I would have probably never thought of, but they had like an aerial shot from above showing them like so you could see the jump ropes moving and you could see them doing spinning, the stuff. Yeah. I was like, this is good. That is some good cinnamon topography, let me tell you. I refuse almost to say
almost the name of our podcast.
It was though for a really long time. And then after the competition, they get what, second place? No, they get fourth place.
Fourth place, yes.
They get fourth place,
which is just enough to get them into city.
And I just wrote what did I say? I said the negative girl on this team needs to go to therapy and work on her self-esteem. Because she's bringing everybody else down. I was like, confidence is part of the competition.
She wasn't even that good. So, like, I don't know why the Dutch Dragons took her. That didn't make any sense to me.
Wait, did the Dutch Dragons take her?
Yeah, she joined the Dutch Dragons.
That's something that I guess I had zoned out at the end of the movie because that was my note. I said, in all caps, I said, ooh, she's going to go to the Dutch Dragons, isn't she?
Yeah.
Because I knew that she was going to, like, cause I think that was after she quit the team, actually.
Yeah, she quit the team. And she joins the Dutch Dragons. And I'm like, okay, but why would they take her?
Yeah.
They were already good without her.
Yeah, I know.
Also, their name is stupid. Sorry, Joy Jumpers is stupid.
It's super stupid.
But you know what's stupider?
Hot Chili Steppers.
Yes.
Hot Chili Steppers is better than Joy Jumpers, but...
I guess it's just like, Joy Jumpers is nothing, right? But Hot Chili Steppers is such a bad pun.
What would you rather call your double Dutch team?
I would have to go from my girl Fergie.
Yes.
And I would call it the Double Duchesses.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Love that. I actually really love that. That was very quick how you came up with that too. I'm very proud of you. You're so good at words.
You could edit it to make it look like it was longer though, to keep me humble. The opposite of how most podcast jokes work.
Okay, so after we see their competition, we go into the boxing match between Izzy and Rodney. And my very first note about this is, I could never do boxing. I don't want anyone knowing how much I weigh.
I know! I was triggered. I was like, oh, you can't just say someone's weight out loud. That's crazy.
I forgot that that was like a part of boxing because obviously it matters. Like, obviously. But then they have their mouth guards in and it was so clearly like dubbed over. I was like, you didn't even try.
No.
You did not even try. And, you know, obviously Izzy beats him. He does all these flips and shit because he's just so much more intent. I don't know. I couldn't care less about the boxing match.
Real quick, right before this, I think we have the scene at the school where Rodney is given the clothes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And we know that like he's having some trouble.
That's when we find out about his dad not having a job and he's having trouble. And the teacher gives him the bag of clothes.
We are really meant to feel for Rodney.
Yeah. Like he is a sympathetic person.
Yeah. He's because also like it's very clear that like none of it is his fault. And I can totally understand. Like, obviously, he's still a child and you can totally understand how like feeling out of control and being angry and not having any kind of support system. Like that, I get that.
That was something I loved was that like they, I mean, obviously bullying bad, never an excuse for it, but they talk about the fact that like, he is so angry. He is so angry at the world around him. And that's so much more than you get sometimes from like the bully that's just mean, you know?
Well,
what
because
I mean?
Typically, like the bully is mean and they're stupid and they're arrogant and like they have no other redeeming qualities other than like they have no other redeeming qualities, and so you just hate them by default
or no other qualities. Like it's just surface level.
Like the kid from Smart House, that's just this
idiot. We haven't watched that yet. I don't know.
You've never watched Smart House?
I've seen it, but I don't remember it off the top of my head.
The bully in that is just like really annoying. He reminds me of someone.
A lot of Disney villains are where it's just like the mean girl. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Unless you're like a mean girl with a heart of gold, like you get no other character development whatsoever.
Right. But so we find out about that. He throws the clothes away because Izzy sees, which is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, so we have the competition. Izzy, I guess, wins. I mean, really, Rodney did just trip and fall. And this is when I was like, the boxing looks terrible. It is not at all convincing.
Well, yeah, like, it's easy to fake double dutch because it doesn't require, like, boxing, you have to be controlled, especially when you're doing it on a set. Obviously, they're probably super worried about, like, safety? Not liability, but yeah, safety. I don't know what I was trying. I don't know where I was going with that, but I feel like that's a lot harder to fake while still bringing out, like, that intensity.
That is,
you know what,
fair.
I mean?
To expect, like, Creed levels of, like, intense boxing, which is, like, crazy.
From Disney stars.
Yeah, no, yeah. I get that. But, like, at least make it look like you're kind of throwing a punch. Like, he was just, at some points, just, like, stuck his arm out. Like,
yeah.
Like, slow.
Well, no, but he would swing it, though. And the swing was, like, intense.
But the swing is also terrible and not how you box.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea. I've never, like, boxed in my whole ass life.
I mean, I haven't either. But, like, that's not what you want. I mean, there are swinging-type moves, but that's not what you want to do every time.
You go, like,
The uppercuts, jabs, and then I don't remember what a swing is called, but I know
either.
It's not good because you're telegraphing and everyone, and, like, you can see it.
Okay.
Like, telegraphing means that you're showing it before you do it.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So, like, if you come with a big swing, they know they can easily block it and dodge it or whatever.
Yeah.
But a jab or an uppercut is quick.
I think it's after this match.
Sorry, real quick, I'm just interrupting because I have thoughts.
Okay.
Do you think they were using boxing doubles?
Probably.
Because for the wides and the behinds, they were better shots. And they were or they were better boxers, I thought.
No, they probably were using boxing doubles, for sure.
And
they did that for the later competition, like the jump rope competition, they were using body doubles.
Okay, I just wanted to get your thoughts on it as my production expert.
Yes, I definitely think they were.
All right, anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's after this competition where they're talking about Rodney or something, and Felix comes up behind the boys and says, boxing doesn't solve those kinds of problems. And I was like, ooh, girl. Mm-hmm. It was such a good line, and it was also so cutthroat. I just really liked it.
Savage,
You know, establishing him as, like, the elder, like, what's the trope? You said it earlier.
I forget the name. There's, like, an actual name of
it. No, I know, and that's what I can't remember right now.
I'm going to look it up. Oh, I don't want to say that.
What?
The trope is magical Negro.
Oh, God, that's right. Oh, fuck. Yeah, hate that. Never mind. Moving on.
And I don't feel like that's fair to... I don't feel like it's fair to, like, relegate him to that.
No, it's definitely not. And also, that's, like, a super old term also.
Like, magical Negro was coined by, like, Spike Lee in, like, 2000, in, like, the 2000s to talk about this kind of character that has existed for a long time, because they are, like boiled down to their blackness, and so, like, they're just used as a magical Negro, basically.
Oh, okay, got it.
It's, you know, like, it's commenting on the way they're used is specifically why they use that word.
I remember this now.
Yeah, but I don't feel like that's fair to boil him down to that, actually, because I think he's deeper than that. Yeah,
no, I agree. And let me see, so I kind of skipped over the whole, like, convincing Izzy to join the team, because, like, obviously he was gonna join the team. It's called Jump In. What I can't stand, though, is that after it's either before or after he's on the team, I wrote, I cannot believe that this bitch is seriously now becoming very attracted to him openly because he can jump rope. Like,
jumping,
that's
rope
the quality.
Is hard.
No, I know, but she, like, becomes so much more into him once she's like, ooh.
He's opening up, and he's being sensitive.
He's being himself. I get it.
Real quick, I want to...
Yeah.
We jumped over Izzy taking the clothes to Rodney.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And we had to talk about that, because that is a very, very nice moment that I was not expecting.
It shows so much about his character, I think.
I think it really does. And it's also a little dumb because they were like, Rodney never suspected that it was Izzy. And it's like,
who else would it be?
He never suspected that the only person that saw him get the clothes and throw them away brought him the clothes.
We don't know Rodney's IQ level. Maybe he's just that dumb. I don't know.
He doesn't seem dumb. He's narrating.
No, he doesn't. I don't know. But I agree. That's kind of stupid. I guess it could have been like the person who gave him the clothes saw them in the trash can and then she brought them back.
That was the only other explanation, but yeah.
Not a good one, but it's there.
Do you know what time it is, Bess?
I can't remember any segments we haven't covered yet.
That's because it's time for another You Didn't Know That Was Fucked Up.
Yay, my favorite segment. What's fucked up about this?
What's fucked up, not about this.
Okay.
So we're moving on. It's later. It's nighttime. And Izzy finds Mary up on the balcony. And he says, "Don't jump. It can't be that bad." You can't say that.
She's just hanging out, dude. She's just hanging out.
Say that. Like, you can't say that.
Disney was trying to go in a new direction, okay? They were trying to make it more edgy. They were trying to make it more adult.
that's the thing, is it's like, it's a very adult joke. You're like saying, don't kill yourself. It's not that bad.
I'm thinking of the TikTok now that's like, don't kill yourself. I might. Don't kill yourself. I quote that daily.
But also, now I want to talk about the connecting balcony fire escape that they share. It's amazing.
We had far too many balcony moments, I felt like. There were so many. I
feel like there was specifically like one too many.
Yeah.
Where it was just, or maybe two too many. Where it's just like, why are we here right now?
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it. I was like, this is very romantic. There's like ivy growing next to it.
It felt very old school for sure.
It was very old school. And it was like, I could just imagine like them growing up there and like they would always hang out on the balcony as kids.
Yeah.
I just found the whole thing very cute and like,
that's like what everybody wants. They want like a, because imagine if like your best friend grew up and you could literally go out your bedroom window and like be in their house without anybody knowing. Like,
yes,
I would do that all the time.
All the time. No, I had love. It was such like a romantic notion to me. Not even romance, like not even romantic and like romance, but like romantic and like the
sentimental-ish.
Like just like the idealized, you know, just like, ugh.
At this point in the movie, I think it's when they're talking about like, why don't you tell your dad that you want to quit boxing, because she's saying, I told my mom that I hated ballet. And I was like, the true reason this movie was made was to let parents know that it's a-okay to let your kids have diverse interests. Like, and you need to learn to be okay with that.
These lines are iconic. And Kiki was incredible actress. Because we get later to where she's talking with her teammates. They need a new person.
Mm-hmm.
The lines that they were going through the people that they had options for, and the reasons that they couldn't use them. I don't know if you were like listening closely and heard them, but they were so funny.
Wait, I don't think I did remember that.
So the first reason, she has two left feet and they're not hers. She's double handed.
She has two left feet. Wait, double handed? Is that something they actually said?
Yes.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying, is they're crazy.
The two left feet thing, I almost get, because it's like a jab and then it's like digging in a little more.
It is.
But the double-handed thing doesn't make any sense.
Like, you got that like she has two left feet and they're not hers is crazy funny.
That's really funny. Okay, what was the other one?
She's double-handed. And then the last one was, she's almost blind.
That's so mean. She's almost blind. That's mean. So am I. I still do my best every day.
Every damn day. This is all happening at their first practice when they're chatting about it. Because then he jumps in. He jumps in.
I know. I know.
He's a natural. He is obviously a natural. And
well,
we are
he's been jumping rope since the beginning of the movie.
But it's different. Double Dutch is different.
I know. What I thought was funny is like once they start practicing, I started noticing that like what really dates this movie is they're all carrying around like actual boom boxes, like a stereo. And I was like, I don't remember the last time, like Drill Team, I guess, in 2009, 2010. But I was just kind of like, oh my God, I forgot. That's like what we had to do before. And if you didn't have like a wireless one, you're fucked. You can't go anywhere. Yeah. I thought that was funny, but
Kiki's so funny.
She was not my favorite in this movie.
I loved her.
I didn't hate her, but she just wasn't my favorite.
You're just racist.
I feel like I'm really rude about pretty much everyone who has starred in any of these movies, and God forbid they listen to the podcast. Not that they ever would, but God forbid they do. Ashley Tisdale's gonna come to my house and
she's
like,
gonna kill
beat my
us.
Ass.
Ashley Tisdale, who I don't know if we talked to, I don't think we knew this at the time, but she was an executive producer on that movie.
Well, okay, being executive producer basically just means you gave money to it. That doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. I've worked on a set where a bunch of people were executive producers. They didn't have any creative input in the film.
Yes, that's fair. It doesn't always mean, but I feel, but it doesn't mean that they're not creatively involved with it.
It depends. It depends on the film. Like, you have the option to be creatively involved, but you don't have to be if you don't want to be.
Yeah, like, I know Margot Robbie was super involved in Birds of Prey, and she was the executive producer of that.
Have
and
you
she
seen
was
it?
Like, I saw it last night. It was incredible.
Wait, was it really? Because it doesn't look awesome. And so Liam and I were on the fence.
Oh, it was incredible. Incredible.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
It's probably my favorite DC movie.
Really?
Oh, it's incredible. It's getting incredible reviews, too.
Okay, see, that's the thing is, like, because it was really heavily marketed, so we weren't sure, because usually that's a bad sign.
If like, it's Suicide like, Squad was really heavily marketed.
And it was bad, but...
Yes, but okay. I think this is just heavily marketed because it's a lady film, and that's obvious. It's gonna do smaller numbers.
Well, but no, but it also is coming out, like, this is not the time
in
of year
February,
where good
yeah.
movies come out, so yeah. So that's why we were on the fence about it, but I know
no,
Liam wants
is,
to see it, so I'll tell him you really liked it.
They because they were talking about it, they scheduled it in a non-risky time where like it's not
it
going
to
be competing against
okay.
exactly
okay.
Because like yeah they were very unsure about it because it's a female led movie with a female director and a female writer and female mm-hmm. producers and female crew
okay well now I want to support it.
Oh, it's the amount of women that worked on this movie is insane.
Okay.
Insane.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm behind that as a concept. I'm not super into that whole universe.
Sure.
So, like,
yeah.
I'll support it if it's good. But, like, I wasn't, like, hype about it.
It's very good. I'm going to go see it again either today or tomorrow.
Nice.
I am a little biased because the Birds of Prey are my favorite comic book team ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Black Canary is, like, my favorite character of all time. And they just, they got her so right.
That's good.
Because it's a Harley movie featuring the Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm.
But Harley's incredible in it, too. I mean, Margot Robbie is...
Oh, yeah. Liam just wants to go see it because it has Margot Robbie in it. And he just wants to stare at her for as long as humanly possible.
It's a good movie for it. She looks incredible in it. It's so good. I really want you to see it. Anyways, yeah, let's move on. Sorry. We move on to Tammy boxing Izzy.
Yes.
Which feels like it shouldn't be allowed.
Well... There were no other girls in that gym that I know of, so
I guess I just am like
if they're roughly the same like height weight, I don't see why it should matter.
I guess it's fine. I just was like that seems a little suspect that like you put your like best boxer up against the girl. I mean, she's very good too.
What are you saying about women, Austin?
I'm saying that people want them to be hurt, and I'm saying that it seems a little suspect. I'm just saying.
Is this when his friends are being like really rude and Corbin's like, no, she's a good boxer?
That's way later.
Then my notes skip a bit.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
I'll just take over for a little bit.
Yeah, you carry the podcast. You tell me what your thoughts were.
So she knocks him down. And then she has been following him because she's noticed him being really tired practicing a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And so she knocks him down and she leans in and she's like, girl boxer one, boy double dutcher zero.
I didn't like that reverse sexism. I like that line line specifically. I was like, you're not helping your case, Tammy. Come on. Like,
I was really worried for a second when she said that line.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
I understand.
I was like, oh no, she's going to turn into like an antagonist and threaten to tell people or whatever.
Yeah. And I was like, please don't take this direction. Please don't do that.
But they didn't. They turn it into a thing where... this is where he learns, right? That like, mm-hmm. this is what she goes through the whole time. Like, she was making a point. Like,
yeah.
She,
well, at the end of the movie, it all comes together, especially after they have their little moment later on, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get there.
Then he gets home late and they have a big fight over dinner because dinner starts at 7 in this house. Who the fuck eats dinner at the same time every day?
Yeah. Who? Like, that's I have never, I have never in my whole life. That's like, so weird.
Had like a scheduled dinner time.
Yeah. Cause like, especially, this doesn't make any sense. If your child is involved in a very intense extracurricular sport, like you never know what time they're getting home, especially if you're at the gym with him mm-hmm. and like you then have to come home and cook or what, like that doesn't make any sense to me.
Makes no sense. Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. This is stupid.
Liam and I were talking about that last night. Cause like, obviously when you come from like families who like cook a whole lot, like you never eat dinner at the same time. You never know how long things are going to take. You never like at all.
You're making a pot roast and you put it in a little late. Sometimes you're eating at 8:30. Like, yeah. Sorry.
We eat at 9 o'clock pretty much every night.
Yeah.
It's very weird. But
you also wake up at 11:30 and go to bed at 4 a.m. So
I've been trying to go to bed earlier because Liam will he's so passive aggressive. He will turn over and I still have lights on and I'm on my phone or I'm like reading a book or something. And he looks over at me. And then he just turns over and pulls the covers up. I'm like, I'm so sorry. And I tell him, I'm like, do you want me to go in the other room? Like, I'm not done. Do you want me to go in the other room? He's like, no. And I'm like, okay. This is what being in a long-term relationship is like. It's just being passive aggressive about everything. And then 5 minutes later, it's fine.
No. All right. So we get to the part he wants to change the routine, which is so funny to me that he's like, I'm not really on the team, but I'm going to change your routine.
But I'm going to take over everything because I'm a man.
And then he goes to show them some street double dutchers because just like boxers, all the best ones come from the streets. Then we get back up to another balcony moment. And Mary says, smooch, gives him a big old kiss right in the middle of act two.
Yep.
Which is pretty just saucy.
Fucks it right on up.
An act two kiss is saucy for a DCOM.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that until like after the competition. But I guess, mm-hmm. like, obviously their relationship is going to go... We had to have that kiss so that everything that happens after that is, like, way more dramatic and, like, intense.
Totally.
Because, obviously, like, she likes him and she trusts him now so much mm-hmm. more than she did before. So I feel like, yeah, that had to happen at that time.
Totally.
At this point, I wrote, Izzy, get new friends.
Oh, Izzy. Yes, totally.
Yeah.
His friends are lame.
Yeah, because I
one of them was fine. Chuck was fine.
Chuck was fine. The other Chuck little one not, was annoying.
These names are white ass names. Like, it's not even, it's like a generic name. It's like, Chuck is a white ass name.
I don't disagree.
Ugh, whatever.
That's you weren't expecting me to not disagree with you. And so you're like, I don't know what to do now. Moving on, I guess.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because this is after the sexist incident. That's when I wrote that. Yeah.
So then now the competition is about to come up. Not city, but the showcase.
Yes, they're entering a showcase.
And with that, it's time to have a new name, the Hot Chili Steppers. No. Don't.
We've already decided that double duchesses would have been better.
Yes, we're moving on.
Yes.
And then fucking his dad is like, hey, I know you have plans, but here's two tickets. Why don't you ditch your friends?
Yeah.
Crazy. Well,
wait, didn't he also say that he was going to go hang out with Mary?
Yes.
And then his dad was like very supportive of it. I hate when like anyone does this when they're just like, I mean, I get it. She's a pretty girl. I'm like, do not talk about a minor like that, you dumbass. Like, shut up.
I had the same thought. I was like, this is a thing that people say, right? Like to their kids or to people where they're like, oh yeah, she's so pretty. I can see what, when I'm like, no, you can't think that.
I would also, I feel like I would never like, I have never cared about how cute someone is. I'm like, oh my God, he treats you with respect. Oh my God. Like, I get so excited about those other qualities that mm-hmm. I don't understand when parents are just like, yeah, oh my God, they're attractive. You should go for it.
I'm like so maybe unhealthy.
Maybe we should go for people based on how they treat us. Treat people with kindness. Harry Styles, circa 2020. Thank you. Sorry.
So we get to the showcase. They have new outfits that are fire themed because gross. They're the Hot Chili Steppers.
Oh my God, they're so bad.
And I want to know when they found the time to do that. But
I was like, you know what, Corbin? I wouldn't want to wear that either. So yeah, I understand why you ditch. Don't worry.
But in this showcase are old ass men.
Yeah, those were like 30-year-old men. I guess, you know, well, like, why does it have to be?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. It's not age.
No.
Which is fine. I was just like, okay, feels weird. But yeah, this is when I wrote that the dad sucks ass. He clearly has not fostered a loving household where
people
Izzy
can
feels
talk
safe.
Openly. Yeah, no. I said the dad needs to go to therapy and confront his grief because this is toxic.
How many characters did you say needed to go to therapy in this movie?
Two.
Okay.
I could have written it for Rodney, but I didn't because he's young. But that's the thing is, the other characters I wrote it about, they are children. This is a grown-ass man with two children, and I feel like you should be better at that. You should understand the responsibility of that, especially after experiencing a family tragedy, and like do the work. Like,
no, absolutely. I don't disagree. I just thought it was funny. This is when we have Izzy's feminist moment.
Yes.
Because he, you know, he's fucked up. His friends don't trust his lady friends don't trust him anymore. Mm-hmm. And so he's back training. And then Chuck chimes in too, and he's like, I agree. She's really good.
Yeah.
And then other friend is like, what's going on? What's going on here?
That one friend really sucks because soon after this, when he's really invested in his team, you know, obviously Rodney finds out what's going on and puts those pictures up
all over school.
And where he's just like, we're basically, I guess they were trying to be like, oh, that's gay or whatever.
Yeah,
but they
that's what I was saying. Is
but they didn't explicitly say it.
No,
but he's
but
like
they say it without saying it though.
Yeah,
because
I know.
They say he looks really pretty.
Yeah, it's printed on pink paper, and they make a point of that.
They say something about his legs. I think like it's very coded as that.
But his friends jump in on it. Like
yes,
his friends
I know.
Take the papers and are also making fun of him. And so I think that's also why I wrote like get new friends, because like if Mary and Avery did that to me, I would never talk to them again.
Oh,
ever.
Absolutely. No,
it's,
totally agree. Totally agree.
So
I thought
bad. It's so toxic and so bad. And I'm like, Izzy, know your worth. This is
I
terrible.
I thought the same thing. I was like, they're not your real friends. Like you need to go. Ugh. Yeah. I did have a minor qualm with that.
Okay.
How did Rodney print those? Because he's poor.
And there were like thousands of sheets of colored paper.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's more expensive. Wow, you're very right.
I'm just, how did he print them?
That's why his family is so poor.
They were like edited, you know what I mean? Like there was like the word
loser
over it.
That took some time. No, each one of them had a different little design. Did you notice that? Yeah.
Like there was a few different, like.
Maybe he took advantage of like the school's free printers and now he's like in trouble with the school for multiple reasons. But
the printer, fine. Like he used the school's, but like he had to get pink paper.
Yeah.
Schools don't just have pink paper.
I know. Also, I didn't understand, like, if this was just me and, like, we're in 2020 now and not 2007, but I didn't understand how Double Dutch was, like, objectively humiliating. Like,
I wrote the same thing. I was like, this isn't that embarrassing.
It's really not.
It's like he's exercising.
Yeah. And so what if he's doing it with women?
He does this at the gym in front of people. Like, if anything, it's just a harder form of exercise.
Yeah. And I just didn't understand. I was like, why is everyone in the school, I guess, like, mob mentality? But I was like, literally everyone seems to have an issue with this.
I had the same exact thought where I was like, this doesn't seem that embarrassing. I feel like if I saw this, I would be like, that's weird. Why do people care?
Yeah.
But then I was like, it's maybe kind of realistic that everyone in a school is like, oh, they printed this out. It must be embarrassing. So I should laugh at him, even if I don't find it embarrassing. You know what I mean?
I understand teenagers are dumb and that's definitely probably part of it. And I understand it was probably them trying to make a statement about society and how we view certain sports as being inherently masculine or feminine. I get it, Disney Channel. But that whole scene in the school kind of didn't make sense to me as to why everyone. And for days afterwards, like people were making fun of him openly to his face. I was like, this wouldn't happen in the age of social media. Everyone wants to do it behind like the screen or behind a username or like whatever. So I guess it didn't make sense that this could actually really happen. Mm-hmm. But that was just me.
I want to have an iconic line from Karen.
Go for it.
First, I need you to tell me to shut up.
Shut up.
Shut don't go up. Prices do.
Did she really say that?
Yes, she says
that. My God. I didn't know that at all.
so fucking funny. I
oh
thought,
my God,
there
I
are
love
so
Karen.
Many lines that in this that were like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That's so funny. I love it. I loved who wrote this movie. I want to give them
please,
a hand.
Please find out what else they've written.
Yeah.
And then I want to go into, you know, because obviously for some reason, Izzy brings the paper home with him and leaves it in his trash can. And the dad finds it, which leads them to have like a really big talk. Which is where I thought I was going to get the, you know, no, dad, I'm giving up your dream line.
Mm-hmm. Is this before or after the rematch?
I don't know. Oh, no. The rematch happens right before the competition. Because the rematch, because remember, the rematch isn't prompt to.
Oh, what a surprise. This movie was written by three women. That's why it's so good.
Amazing. Love that.
Anyways, sorry. Keep going.
No. I really, thank you for that. But instead of getting the no, dad, I'm giving up your dream line, we get, just because you don't have a life anymore doesn't mean you need to take mine away. And that is so much more savage, in my opinion.
It
was so pointed, and I loved it. And sorry, I realize I put that on there. And then my next note is, could you imagine wearing that tacky ass necklace in day-to-day life?
I know.
Sorry, that just is, it's just funny.
It's terrible. Next, we get the rematch, I think.
Yeah, where they basically, everyone in the school just follows Rodney to the gym.
Yeah,
and
it's crazy.
Like, fight, 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 which I've never seen happen in my whole life, but whatever, fine.
And then Izzy says something so fucked up.
Which is?
Where he says something, he's like, just because your dad doesn't have a job doesn't mean you can take it out on me, or something like that.
Yep.
Like, Izzy, you can't say that.
I know. He truly didn't give a shit.
Oh my God.
He truly did not give any shits at this point in the film. He's like, you know what? I'm angry now too. Let's go. But then, you know, obviously we have that moment where he wins the rematch, but
after,
he's like,
wait, after doing a bunch of flips and shit in the middle of the thing, like, backflip.
He basically did the same move over and over and over.
This was his coming out party, was like, do a little spin, do a little flip. And then he gets out of the ring and Rodney just dives to the ground after him. And I was like, what are you doing? And people are gathered around and they're like, finish him off.
I know. I'm like, this is not Super Smash Brothers. Like, we're not going to do that.
Curb stomp? What do you want from him?
Yeah. And of course, he's like, I'm not going to kick someone while they're down. Like, first of all, you don't do that in boxing. You don't. And second of all, I was like, that's right. Be a decent person. Because if he had done it, he would have immediately become an unlikable character. And this would not be a Disney Channel original movie anymore. It'd be like Fast and the Furious and it'd be a kill shot. But I literally just wrote, I cannot believe how many people are at this random fight.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, oh, all of a sudden his punk ass friend, whose name we don't know, is proud of him again.
Yeah.
Like, why is your friendship so conditional? Drop this little bitch. Like, I'm so mad.
Sucked. He sucked. Then we get into City.
Yes. And my very first thought is, in what world would this double Dutch competition be on the news? There's a reporter there.
I have so many questions about this. I was like, what league is this? Because I know it's like the USDDA or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But it's not through a school or anything. But there's not like a coach or an adult. Like, it seems so regulated and like formal, but like that couldn't just be like 14-year-old girls enrolling themselves in this league. And like,
well, that's the thing,
what
is
sense
we had,
does that make?
Well, at the showcase, we had a bunch of people from like all ages or whatever.
Yes,
so I'm wondering,
and that makes sense to me.
So I wonder if it was kind of more of a universal thing. I don't know. But yeah, we only see children, obviously, because it's a DCOM, but.
Because, like, terms like city and regionals, that is very, like, this is a league.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, regulated competition, which means that it's, like, similar age groups. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I don't, you know what? We're bringing too much logic to a Disney Channel movie about Double Dutch.
It's really where it falls apart for me, but.
Okay.
We meet some of the other teams, like the Kung Fu Flyers.
Loved the Kung Fu Flyers, if
we're being problematic
real.
Name, but.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely, for sure. What was I going to say? So, you know, they kind of do stuff that we've already seen before in like the showcase and the first competition and all that stuff. And so what were the results after the first part, because my
first,
notes
they
say
got first place.
Yes.
They got first And then the other people got, and then the Dutch dragons or whatever the hell got second.
Yes. And I think I have a note in here that says, bitch, you just got second place.
Yes, because after round two, the Dutch dragons get first. And
yes. And they're so rude about it.
She's like, second. Yeah. It's like, just got second.
Yeah. Like this happened 30 minutes ago.
I was so mad.
Okay. Thank you.
Mad.
Cause I was like, I couldn't remember at what point that had happened, but I knew that note was important. And then, okay, so then we get into the freestyle.
Outfit change, finally. That's how they win.
Outfit change plus black light.
Why do they get glow stuff? That feels like cheating.
Why?
Because everyone else got glow stuff.
Well, that's just them being creative.
They got lighting changes? No.
No, they didn't. Oh, you mean like they had like black lights?
Black lights had to be on.
No, I think they just had glow in the dark stuff.
Maybe. I don't know. But I was a little...
I was like, oh my God.
But even then, that means they had lighting cues. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Okay, you're right. You're right. You're right. that's so much more of a production than I realized. But I did write, oh my God, drill team flashbacks. Because we used to do black light dances every year for
something. Oh, I love Blackout.
Blackout was fun, but it was so stressful. We would literally just be sitting there. Our bodies are not moving. It's just our hands doing all these weird, like, I just thought, I was like, oh my God, I never want to do that ever again.
Sometimes.
Yeah, and the masks. Sometimes the shoes.
I love Blackout.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And then
I forgot that Push It to the Limit was from this. That song has been on my iTunes forever.
But they didn't play it at first. And I said, why the fuck is Push It to the Limit not playing during their freestyle? Is it going to play during the credits? What a goddamn waste. And then the next note, there it is.
Yep. Because they have two songs because this is such a long performance.
Yeah, it's incredibly long. I wrote, why did they get two songs, though?
I was like, this routine is too long.
They took so many dance breaks.
They were just dancing.
They like, were just doing hip-hop.
There was no ropes involved. At least when the other team was, like, doing just dancing, they were all like, holding the rope.
Yes.
Like, they were just like, we're just going to do hip-hop. And I'm like, that is not...
They throw in some boxing moves, obviously, because you got to incorporate everyone's different interests. And then, did you notice the sitting jumps where they're turning the ropes or whatever? And Kiki Palmer's sitting on her ass, and she's just throwing her body into the air to, like...
Yes! Avoid...
That took me out. I was like, that is not a skill. I mean, I guess it is, but it was just so funny. It was so, so funny.
So good.
And this is also when I wrote, like, okay, how were they supposed to do this entire routine without Izzy, which was their game plan when they thought he wasn't going to show up. I was like, this makes no sense.
No.
Because he's the ringer going in and doing all those, like, crazy, like, backflips and stuff. Like, oh, totally. My God. It was insane. And then all of his friends are at this competition. Rodney's there. His two punk ass friends are there. Tammy's there. His dad is there. Karen's there. And I was like, okay, we're all open to this now, I guess.
Bandwagon fans.
Yeah. And after the competition, he has that moment with his dad where he's like, you know what? You're right. I haven't been dealing with this well at all. And I was like, how did the dad gain all this emotional clarity in like 2 hours? Like two.
Yeah.
That's like 70 therapy sessions. Like,
I know.
And then he has that moment where I think he like puts his hand on his shoulder. And he's like, I'm really proud of you. And I said, girls with daddy issues just came.
I don't know why I wrote this. I wrote, how did mom die? Did dad kill her?
Is that why he's so, like, cold about it and he doesn't want to deal with it? And then, like, everyone else in the family, that's why Izzy was so afraid to stand up to his dad, because he knows that he killed the mom and he doesn't want to anger him.
Maybe. I'm saying it fits.
There's a darker movie that is yearning to be made, truthfully. Yeah. And anyway, so...
So, we find out Rodney is the narrator.
Yes.
All right, did you have anything you want to say before that?
I just wrote, I hated the ending. I really hate the way that ending wrapped up.
Yeah.
It kind of killed it for me.
It didn't kill it for me, but it was just like a bleh kind of ending. I agree.
Yeah, I was upset about it. Because I thought the movie was so strong and the ending was so weak.
Yeah, it just felt like kind of like tacked on. Yeah, that's kind of it. That's the thing is the ending is just kind of like, meh, and then it ended. They won.
The ending just kind of like drops off. But I mean, on the whole... Definitely better than I remember. I
so
really
much better than
thoroughly
I remember.
Enjoyed watching this movie. I would watch it again.
Yeah. not like today, but maybe like in a week.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I loved it so much. And it made me love Corbin Bleu so much more than I already did.
I was really impressed with him.
I already respect him so much because now he's like a Broadway baby and he's so fucking talented. But I really loved it.
I love Kiki. I thought she was great in it. Kiki, if you want to come on the podcast, we'd love to have you.
Okay, it's time to pick our next movie.
Yes.
What are we hoping for? You're hoping for a trilogy. I don't know why I already asked that, but...
Yeah, I'm hoping for a trilogy. I want it.
I don't know. We've kind of bopped around a lot at this point, so I think I'm going to be happy with pretty... I want, like, a classic. I want another one that I remember watching, for sure. Yeah. Because I feel like I'd have, like, way more thoughts about it, like, comparing. Okay, it's 42. Oh, yes, yes, it's Stuck in the Suburbs.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
This was one of my absolute favorite movies.
Yeah, same.
Ever.
I love this.
Like,
I
one
love
of my favorite DCOMs.
One.
Oh, my God. And it's so cringy, but it's so good. After this movie, I like
Taryn
wanted to.
Taryn Killam. Fucking Taryn Killam.
Taryn Killam. And after this movie, I wanted to change my name to Danielle because I hate myself.
That's hilarious.
I hated my name for the longest time growing up.
I know.
And I always wanted to change it.
This is exciting.
Fuck yes. I don't think I've been this excited about a movie since Cadet Kelly.
Yeah. This is going to be a good one.
Yes. Okay. I'm so excited. Well,
cool.
Yay.
Thanks for listening, guys. Make sure to follow us on all of our social medias. We are on Twitter at Worst Podcast and on Instagram at Worst Than You Remember.
And be sure to, what is it? I forget how podcasts work.
Rate and review.
Rate and review. It helps us so much and we really appreciate it. I feel weird begging for more attention.
But the more you rate and review us, the more people find us and listen, and it just helps and it makes us all better. So,
yay.
But other than that, thanks for tuning in. And
we will see you next week with Stuck in the Suburbs.
Woo!
Woo!
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.